You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Have your Bibles, the Gospel of John, chapter number 6. You know, I never can articulate my words and say all that my heart feels. And if you preach or if you get up in front of people, you know you never really say all that you want to say, because you need to get right to the message. And because I know you're tired, it's been a long day, and I'm just going to echo your international buffet. Just tremendous. I mean, it really was tremendous. As a pastor, you know, I know a lot of you work jobs, and you got to get up in the morning, you got to go to work, and you're tired, but just to see the sacrifice and the labor that you did, and what an encouragement, what a blessing, and it was just tremendous. I'm glad, listen carefully, I am not one of the judges. All right, I'm not. I would hate to judge that. Y'all all did such a wonderful job, okay? Did you notice when the preacher was going through the different countries, when he came to Q, we just kind of struggled with that. We couldn't think of, my middle name is Quitman. Quitman, it's Q-U-I-T-M-A-N. It's Dan Quitman Carr. That is an unusual middle name. Can I get a witness there? You don't meet a lot of people with that middle name. And so I'm the youngest of nine. I have five older sisters, three older brothers. Of course, I have a sister and brother in heaven now. So people ask me, how did you get that middle name, Quitman? Well, I was the last one, and my mom looked at my dad. Y'all are ahead of me. And she said, it's time to quit, man. All right? Okay. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Somebody came up to me one time and said, did that really happen? No, that is what happened. John chapter 6. If you're able, why don't we stand tonight? John chapter 6. What a privilege to be here in this wonderful church. And again, such a good pattern church that you have. And I thank you for being behind your preacher and working, because I don't know if you realize all that's taking place here, but it really is a encouragement and a challenge to other churches. See, we look for excuses. So when God is doing it here, it kind of removes some of our excuses to say, if it can be done here, it can be done in other places. And to see a great crowd, full crowd on a Sunday night, and not even counting the other facilities, it's just such an encouragement. Thank you so much. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. I love this statement. For he himself knew what he would do. Jesus always knows what to do. Amen. Verse number 7, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets, but the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen their miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Our Father, we love you. God, we thank you for what our hearts have sensed. And Lord, through the singing of Lord, the congregation, the specials, God, our, we saw the missionary display, Lord, and the video there, and our hearts were warmed again. And God, I pray now in these next few minutes, Lord, I know it's Sunday evening and folks have labored nearly all day today. And so, God, help me not to linger the message. Help us, Lord, to get to the points, and God, that it would be a help and an encouragement. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Would you help us tonight? Would you meet with us? Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray and ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate your patience. Many of you are very familiar with this story. Some say perhaps maybe not the greatest miracle that Jesus did. We know the greatest miracle is the resurrection of Jesus. But without a doubt, perhaps one of the greatest miracles, it's the only miracle that Jesus did. Of course, you know this in all 4 of the Gospels. You can find it. And oftentimes when we preach as preachers, we don't have time to go to all the 4 Gospels and read all 4 stories. And so sometimes we kind of just put it together and preach the message. But I would challenge you to read all 4 Gospels and look at the different angles at this great miracle that Jesus did that we call feeding of the 5,000. You understand that that was just the men that were there. We really don't know exactly how many were fed. There's a lot of guesses, you know, 20,000, 30,000. But we know there was 5,000 hungry men that were there. And we do know this, and the Bible tells us there in verse 12, when they were filled. And so we know not only were they filled, but there were some left over. And so as I look at this tremendous miracle that Jesus did, there's a statement here that I want to draw your attention to tonight. It's found in verse number 12. And when they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, watch this statement. He says, gather up the what? Help me. Gather up the fragments that what? That remain, that nothing be lost. If you look up the word fragment, it is interesting in the 1828 dictionary that you'll find John chapter 6 there. And it's just interesting. But the word fragment means a part broken off. A part broken off. The word fragment means a piece separated from anything by breaking. The word fragment means an imperfect part. An imperfect part. The word fragment means a small detached portion. A small detached portion. Jesus said, gather up the fragments. I believe the picture here that we could make an application that these fragments are a picture or a type of the many broken lives. Jesus said, gather up the fragments. These fragments are a picture of those that you and I would say, man, they sure don't have it together. We would say they may be misfits. And so Jesus said, gather up the fragments. Can I just say in way of introduction tonight, sin produces a lot of fragments. Can I say tonight that Satan produces a lot of fragments? Can I say this world has produced a lot of fragments? Jesus said, gather up the fragments. There's several thoughts that I want you to see tonight here in this verse. Number one, notice that Jesus saw the fragments. Look at it here. Jesus said, gather up the fragments. You know, Jesus often sees what others do not see. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel. I'm going to give you several verses here quickly. I'm going to go to several places. But notice, Jesus saw the fragments. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, chapter number 16, the Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth, watch this, for the Lord seeth, you see that? Not as man seeth. God often sees what we do not see. You know, it wasn't the disciples that noticed the fragments. It was Jesus that said, gather up the fragments. I want you to go to Lamentations very quickly, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter number 3. Are you still with me so far? Look at Lamentations chapter number 3. And the Bible says in verse 51, my eye affected my heart. My eye affected my heart. That's why I often do believe that missionaries' videos when they show the video can be very powerful, because our eyes affect our heart. Jesus saw the fragments. Jesus saw the fragments. The Bible says it this way in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people what? The people perish. The Bible says it this way in Proverbs 22, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. So what am I saying quickly tonight? I'm saying this, Lord, we need to see the world the way that Jesus sees the world. We need to see what the Lord sees. Are you with me tonight? And so Jesus saw the fragments. Let me show you one more really quickly, if you don't mind. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter number 6, the book of 2 Kings chapter number 6. So first of all, we see Jesus saw the fragments. He saw all of these broken pieces, and he said, gather up the fragments. And look with me, if you would, at 2 Kings chapter number 6. I wish I had time to get in this story. Many of you are familiar with it, but just a thought here from it. And 2 Kings 6, look at verse 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Okay? And Elijah prayed, said, Lord, I pray thee, watch this, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and watch this, and he what? And he saw. You know, we need for God to open our eyes tonight. Amen. So we can see what he sees. Yep. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I have a lot of names here. I wish I had the time to go through all the illustrations and tell you all the stories. But let me just give you one quickly. I remember this man visit our church, and two men in our church was out knocking doors and invited him to come. And he had a patch on his eye, and he talked really rough. And I remember when he said, well, I don't have anything to wear. And a man in my church took his jacket off and handed it to him. He said, man, I don't have a tie like you have. And he took his tie off and handed it to him and said, man, you got a tie. Now you have a jacket. So this gentleman came to our church, and he kind of sat to the second pew there on the right in the very back. And I'll never forget when I went by just shaking hands. I said, man, it's so good to have you today. And he kind of looked at me with a really rough voice and said, it's good to be here. Like it was just really rude and really mean. But I didn't realize that he'd had a stroke, and it had affected his throat. And so Monday morning, he'd visit that Sunday. Monday morning, I went to see him, and I went inside of his house and had knocked on the door. He invited me in, and as we were sitting, I was looking around in his living room there, and there was these skulls. Man, I was starting to get nervous. Can I get a witness? And I saw these skulls and all of this stuff. It's just like, man, what is all of this about? And so I begin to witness to him, and I asked him if he died today, would he go to heaven? He says, no, I don't know. And I said, would you like to know? And he said, sure. And so I took the Bible and took him through the plan of salvation. I'll never forget. I never seen anybody do this before. But I said, would you be willing to receive Christ right now? And he said he would. He got out of his chair, and he did this. He did it just like that. And he bowed his head and he prayed and asked the Lord to save him. Started coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I remember the first time I took him soul winning with me. He just got saved, and we was going soul winning together. And he was on the outside by the road, and I was on the inside. And a car went really by and got real close, and he said a real bad, ugly word. And he was so embarrassed. He said, "Preacher, I'm sorry." I said, "It's okay. My wife talks a lot worse than that." And I said, "It'll be fine. Don't worry about it." And he was going to go to the jail with me. He went with me for years. But the first time he ever went, and I went to pick him up, he was going to ride with me. He got in my car, and he had a brown bag sack. And I said, "What you got there?" He said, "I got some cigarettes." I said, "You got cigarettes?" I said, what are you going to do with them?" He said, "I thought the prisoners would love to have some cigarettes." I said, "Well, they probably would love to have them, you know, but we probably bought a bypass right now." He's a new convert. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I watched God change his life.
Amen.
He began to grow, and he began to grow. He became the treasure of our church. He was a treasure of our church for over 20 years. He had every Thanksgiving. He ate every Thanksgiving with us and every Christmas for nearly 20 years. Became one of the dearest friends. He was like a grandfather to my children. When I first met him, he had a patch on his eye, and it wasn't long he was able to remove the patch. Just beginning to grow, and he had a massive heart attack, and he died. And I tell my men, you ought to always have a sermon in your Bible, because you never know what might happen. He had two sermons in his Bible when he died. He was not a preacher, never taught a Sunday school class. I preached one of those sermons at his funeral. What do you see?
Praise the Lord. That's good.
What do you see? Jesus wasn't just seeing where he was, but Jesus saw where he could become. We need God to open our eyes. The Bible says when Jesus saw the fragments, he saw what others did not see. May I say, number two, not only did Jesus see the fragments, but Jesus wanted the fragments. Jesus wanted the fragments. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter number one. Not only did Jesus see the fragments, and man, I got a lot of names here. I would love to tell you more stories. But look at Isaiah chapter number 1 and look at verse 18. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Can I say tonight that, my friend, not only did Jesus see the fragments, but he wanted the fragments. You do understand tonight that, my friend, God loves the world. You do understand tonight, but God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You do understand tonight that, my friend, God loves sinners. And my friend, not only does he see the sinner, but he wants the sinner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Jesus wanted the fragments. One thing I've enjoyed about your church today, and I didn't try to do an inspection, okay? I didn't get my pen out today and look for all the things that you're not doing right around here. If you are, I couldn't find them, okay? But anyway, you're doing. Let me tell you what I love what you are doing that's right. And I've been in a few churches, and sometimes you go into church, and you know everybody is dressed just perfect, and you know, and everybody's got a suit on, and everybody's got a tie on, and I'm for that. But I love going to a church, my friend, where you can tell they're reaching people, and man, some people come in, and they may not be dressed right, and they may not look right, but I want you to understand tonight we're in the business of the fragments. Hey, we are glad they are here. Son, you come to my church on Sunday morning, you'll think half of them just got out of prison. Are you still with me? God is interested in the fragments. My friend, not only did he see the fragments, but he wanted the fragments. Can I say, very quickly this morning or this afternoon, Jesus told his disciples to go gather the fragments. Look at it back in John at chapter number 6. Look in John at chapter number 6. Watch it quickly in verse number 12. And when they were filled, he said unto his what? Disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing should be lost. That is the purpose of the church, is to gather up the fragments. That is the purpose of the missionary, to gather up the fragments. That's why we have buses here, to gather up the fragments. That's why we have Sunday school classes, to gather up the fragments. That's why we go soul winning, to gather up the fragments. That's why we go to the prison, to gather up the fragments. That's why we go to the nursing home, to gather up the fragments. Hey, that is the responsibility, and that is the command that the Lord gave. He said, gather up the fragments. Our church doesn't have the best baseball team in our city. Our church hasn't won a bowling trophy in our city. And I'm not being ugly or unkind, but hey, I want our church to be busy gathering up the fragments. That is our purpose, and that is why we are here. May I say number four, he had a purpose for the fragments. Look at verse number 12 again. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be what? Now, I'll be very honest with you. I don't know why. I've heard it preached all kinds of ways down through the years, you know, mission conferences and all. And, you know, the lad gave his five barley loaves and his two small fish, and he gave what he had to Jesus. And when it was all done, and Jesus said, gather the fragments, and he took the 12 baskets and he gave to the little boy. The little boy told it the 12 baskets home and said, Mom, you never guess what happened today. Are you with me? I don't know why he said, gather up the fragments, but here's what I do know. He had a purpose. We would agree with that, right? He had a purpose. You know, God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. We think about David. Go to 2 Samuel chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 22. He had a purpose for the fragments. I don't know what the purpose was. And I could guess and give you some ideas, but he said, gather up the fragments. There was a reason. There was a purpose behind it. Look in 1 Samuel chapter number 22. It says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they were down thither to him. They went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. I see a bunch of fragments gathering themselves to David. People that was distressed, people that was in debt, people that was discontented. What did David do? What did David do with those people? I tell you what he did with them. He made them mighty men. God has a purpose for your life. I can remember, I touched on it this morning. My sister invited me to church. Nobody in my family went to church. And I never heard the word saved or born again until I was nearly 16 years old. And my sister got me to go to church. And I can remember on a Sunday night, going to this first time I'd ever been to a independent Baptist church, and went there on a Sunday night. I had long hair way past my shoulders, way down to here, and I'm sitting there with my sister, and I remember that Sunday night the teens would sing, and so the choir filled up with teenagers. They all had a white shirt on, they had a tie on, and the choir filled up with teens, and I was sitting back there and I was looking. Who is this? Where did they come from? What is this? Are you with me? Aren't you glad that God still saves those sinners? Amen. Who would ever dream? Amen. That God would save me. Amen. And God would call me to preach. God would let me be a pastor of the church. Who would ever dream? God had a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for your life. Can I say that quickly tonight? There was a lot of fragments. Go to John, back to John quickly, chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. John 6, look with me if you would, quickly at verse 12. When they were filled, he said it to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them, what? Together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I'll be honest. Again, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell. I don't know how big the baskets were. Maybe there was really big baskets. Maybe the little bitty baskets. I'm not really sure. But here's what I do know. There was enough fragments that was left to fill 12 baskets. Can I say this tonight? There's a lot of people out there that need Jesus. I meant to do a little homework here, and I failed to do it, and I apologize. In Mississippi, there's less than 3 million people. In my city where I pastor, there's 75,000 people. On the coast, what we call the coast, there's 250,000 people. There's a lot of people. I have plenty of prospects. Can I get a witness? There's plenty of people for Faith Baptist Church in Gulfport, Mississippi. There are plenty of people to reach in my area. I don't know the population of this area where I'm at. I'm not sure, but it does look like there's a lot of people around here. It looks like there's a lot of people in California. I haven't traveled from the south to the north. I preached up the north, and I've never been down to San Diego. I haven't been all over California, but I know a little bit tonight. There's over 30-something million people just in California. There's over 300-plus million people in the United States. Over 8 billion people on planet Earth. I submit to you tonight, there's a lot of fragments. There are a lot of people to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did not we hear, I believe it was this morning, that someone said there was one Baptist church. One Baptist church. Are you with me tonight across California preaching? I don't know your state very well. But I guarantee you there's a lot of places in California that probably need some churches. You say, well, you're in the Bible Belt, and there are churches on every corner. But can I tell you something about the Bible Belt that you probably don't know? Now, I've done tent revivals for 25 years all over Mississippi. I mean, I'm telling you, I have knocked thousands. When I tell you thousands, I've got a callus on this knuckle. I have knocked thousands of doors across the state of Mississippi. And I am telling you, my friend, churches all over the South are dying. This I know for a fact. And we do make fun of y'all, by the way. We really do. And y'all make fun of us. But are you with me? And when I tell my church I'm going to California, they're like, you're going to California? Be careful out there. They don't mess you up. And I tell my people, you would be surprised. I'm telling you, some of the greatest churches in America are in California. They're on fire. They are excited, and we are dying. We need some of what you have there back to the South. A lot of you are first-generation Christians. I can take you to towns and cities. Some of them would be small, my friend, where there is no independent Baptist church. There is not an independent Baptist church on every corner. There may be a church on every corner. But when I went to Nigeria with Mark Holmes, one of the biggest surprises, when I got there and we was going to his church, man, I saw a church here and a church there. I thought, man, this looks like in the South. You got churches everywhere, but most of them are not preaching the gospel. There is a difference. You understand? There's a difference between to go to heaven, you got to trust Christ and Him alone. Then you got to get baptized, go in the church, speak in tongues, live a good life, and do good. And just maybe you will make it. No, we have a no-soul salvation. We do not have a work salvation. Christ did it all. We accept what He has done. Man, I didn't grow up in church at all. I just thought if you lived a good life, did more good than bad, he'd weigh it all out. And just maybe, you know, if you got baptized and lived good, you might make it. No, he that hath the Son hath life. Do you understand there's a lot of people? There's a lot of people that need Jesus. My family, we was fragments. I have to be careful. People watch the live stream. My mom is in heaven now, so I say a little more than I used to, because I would never want to embarrass my mom. But I've seen my dad get drunk, and he would be gone for several days. We would not know that he would be dead our life sometimes. I remember one particular time my dad came home about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was pastoring when this happened. My mom called and said, your dad's leaving. He's got a shotgun and he's going to go down there to the bar and he's going to kill some people. My mom said, I don't want to put you in the middle of this, but I don't know what to do. I said, Mom, it'll be okay. And so I got in my car and drove to the bar. I knew where he was. I knew the bar well. I'd been there many times to get him out. And I got there and I pulled up and he had blown the windows out. Me not knowing if people in there were dead or alive. Now, it's probably 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I pulled up beside my dad. He looked over at me. He was sitting in his truck, and I looked at him. I didn't know what to do. But my dad pulled off, and I pulled in behind him, and I realized my dad's going home. And all of a sudden, police car, my dad turned into what we call an alley road to go to the house. And a police car came from this way, and one went around me and got between us, and my dad pulled over to stop. Policeman flew up his door and got out with his gun, and the other policeman in the other car got out with his gun, and I got out of my car and I started running. I said, Dad, they got guns, they'll shoot you, they'll kill you. Come out with your hands up. My dad got out of the car, and you got to realize he's drunk. He does this. They run over there, and the cops grab him. You got to realize he just left from a bar where he blew the windows out with a shotgun. They run over there, and they grab him and throw him in the back of the police car. Comes over to me. Policeman pointed his finger. He said, I don't know who you are and what you're doing. He said, you jumped out of your car. You come running over here. He turned around and he pulled his gun on me. He said, stop! And I stopped and stood still. That's when I began to holler at my dad. He said, if you'd had anything in your hands, I'd have killed you dead. Normally, I'd have got out with my New Testament, and I didn't. He said, I'd have killed you dead. I said, well, if you'd have killed me, I would have went to heaven. He said, if you'd have shot my dad, he'd have went to hell. He looked at me and kind of shook his head. That is just one little story. I could go on, and not to get pity, but just to illustrate this, my family was fragments. We were in a mess. And I can remember at Christmas time, I say this carefully, preacher, but I can remember at 12, 11 years old, my brothers mixing up vodka with 7-Up and giving it to me. And me getting drunk and just throwing my guts up. And my brother's laughing. I remember my sister saying, y'all gave him that. He's just a kid. Our family was a mess. Then somebody got the gospel to us.
Amen.
We began to get saved one after another, getting saved. And then I can remember Dad getting saved, and my mama got saved, my brother got saved. And then I can remember a Christmas where nobody was drinking. You said, what are you saying? I'm saying tonight there's a lot of fragments out there. There's a lot of people around the world that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just get right down to where you are tonight. There was a time you was a fragment. You say, well, I grew up in a Christian home, and I never did any of that. It took the same cross, the same blood, my friend, of Calvary's cross to save you as it did me. Jesus didn't die on two or three different crosses, ladies and gentlemen. He died on a cross. It took just as much of his blood to save you as me. We all were fragments. We all were headed to a place called hell. Aren't you glad? The Bible says we all like sheep have went astray. Aren't you glad that somebody got the gospel to you? Jesus saw the fragments. May God open our eyes that we could see as he sees. Jesus wanted the fragments. And I don't have to labor this point. If I was at another church, I would probably have stayed here longer. But I'm glad that I'm at a church that wants the fragments. Jesus told his disciples to gather up the fragments. Jesus had a purpose for the fragments. There's a lot of fragments. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed quickly tonight. You've been very patient. You've had a long day. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Listen carefully. Number one, who could say, preacher, if I die tonight, I'd go to heaven. I've been saved. If that's true, could you slip your hand up quickly tonight, just real quickly. Hands all over. God bless you. Put your hands down. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd not embarrass you. I'd not come to you. Could we pray for you? Anybody like that? Just quickly. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, could we get you to help us tonight? Young people, teenagers, could we get you to help us? Young couples, could we get you to help us tonight to reach the fragments? You that are older tonight, could we get you to help us? Could you pray? Some of you can't maybe get out and knock your doors like you used to, but could you pray? Would you help us tonight? Would you help us? Would you help this church? Would you get involved? Would you give? Would you pray? And would you be sensitive? Would you ask God to open your eyes to see what he sees? There's another Brother Ed out there that needs the gospel with a patch on his eye. There's another Carr family out there that needs the gospel. Would you help this good church tonight to reach the fragments? I wonder tonight who could say, preacher, there was a time my life was in a mess. And I'm telling you, I was in a mess. And I'm so glad the Lord saved me. Would you raise your hand? Huh? Yeah, a lot of you. A lot of you. God bless you. Put your hands down. I wonder how many tonight say, preacher, I got some lost family members that need to be saved. Would you raise your hand? All over tonight. All over tonight. Father, would you deal with hearts? God, this church is trying to reach the fragments. And it needs help. God, open our eyes. God, open our eyes. Give us a vision. God, as Elijah prayed for his servant to open his eyes, and you opened his eyes, and he saw. God, help us to have our eyes open, that we can see that what people need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they need.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.